The Run Home with Ox and Marco.
Giants were taken by surprise, no doubt about that. They didn't mince their words in their press release. So Cade Cameron's gone. Told them yesterday, and he's out today. That was going to happen, I suppose, as soon as he told them. But it's an interesting one.
Robbo this afternoon with Francis Leach on Afternoons. Now, Craig Cameron and
Mark Evans
work together at the D's. Is that correct?
Yep.
So. Obviously, work together, respect each other, and
it's always relationships. It's always what you know. It's always who you know what you know, and that's how it works.
Cameron is a sucker for punishment. He's worked for Bill Vlahos, of course, unwittingly. Didn't realise all the dramas there. He's worked for the
BC3, was it
something? Yeah, yep. He's worked for Melbourne Football Club in the dark old days. GWS, been able to keep Josh Kelly, and now Gold Coast.
No, they weren't the dark old days.
No, I'm being a little bit flippant.
They were actually okay. The period was there. But, you know, he's obviously climbing up again because I think the BC3 knocked him around a bit. So
yeah, it did.
There's no doubt that Mark Evans and him understand how they think and understand how they work together, and hopefully that'll be good for the Gold Coast Suns. The Gold Coast have got a lot of it wrong. Now, we're not sitting here blaming Scotty Clayton, but just blaming everything that's gone on up there. They've made a lot of errors. So they're trying to put the right pillars in place to ensure that they don't get in that path again. Because Campbell Brown said, if they don't get this right, they'll be out of business.
Boys, Cameron was contracted to GWS until the end of 2019.
So what...
So he's been ripped out. So does it look like from the outside that... I mean, it does to me that the AFL have got their fingerprints all over this.
No,
thing.
I don't think that's the case. Otherwise, why would they be taking someone from an expansion club? I know
they're making prelims.
I know the AFL were very upset with the Justin Cordy announcement. But I think if Gold Coast started to stand on their own two feet, because they felt it was an inflationary effect, that he might have been on 300 and all of a sudden they put him on an extra $200,000.
But Port Adelaide did that with their fitness bloke, so...
Yeah, I think it shows that Gold Coast have got a little bit of ticker. Don't think, oh, hang on, we're on, you know, the AFL's teat. Go out and get the best people. They would have been ravaged even more than they had been if they hadn't got Justin Cordy up there. Now, this bloke, they will say, is in an expanded capacity, but he has got the hardest job in football. Look, when Scotty Clayton talked about, you know, the play school effect, that all these boys have to grow up, I think he probably saw the writing on the wall and he was going to get moved on. But he is right in some respects. All these players have left just because they want to, not because they were desperate to get home. Deion Prestia, well, I can get home, I will. Jagger O'Meara, I want to come to the big city. Yep. Zach Smith, well, not really getting a game, I'll move on. Charlie Dixon, had a lot of social issues, I'll go to Port Adelaide. Yep. Yeah, Adam Sard had some religious things. Harley Bunnell, Josh Caddy, they just wanted to leave, so they did. I mean, again, massive issue about whether we have three-year contracts or whether we have some kind of tax, which has been talked about over the weekend. It is the hardest job in football to try and retain these blokes. And now he's got to try and retain Tom Lynch. I mean, he's on a hide into nothing. But then again, no one thought Josh Kelly would stay, and he did.
I want to take a few calls after the break. 9429 1116. Craig Cameron, he is contracted at GWS until 2019. The Gold Coast need things to change. It looks to me like the AFL have just ticked this off. Let's take this man and put him up here where we know he can get the job done. It looks like it to me. Is that a good or a bad thing?
No, I think it's a good thing. Where does it leave Scotty Clayton?
Scotty Clayton, I would assume, would move on. I think he's known the writing has been on the wall for some time. There are reports around that St Kilda's a club who's interested in bolstering their department. Continued uncertainty, the Western Bulldogs, Jason McCartney, Simon Dalrymple don't see eye to eye, don't necessarily talk. So, look, if Jason was to move on after the draft, there might be a list management hole there. Maybe Scotty goes back to the Western Bulldogs. Yeah. If Scotty Clayton couldn't get Gold Coast right, and we all admit they've made some mistakes, he loves light-body players, but he had the second-best list allowances in all time. GWS is a little bit better. He had Gary Ablett, the best player in the comp, and yet still, he couldn't get it right, which just shows... that there are so many issues up there at Gold Coast, some of which are being fixed, but it shows that the AFL needs to throw more money at it, not complain if someone like Craig Cameron goes to the Gold Coast.
Should Craig Cameron be allowed to work in the upcoming draft for the Gold Coast Suns, knowing the IP and everything that he's learnt from GWS is still very raw?
No, I completely understand that they would be upset, completely understand that they would say, mate, you're contracted. Not only to the end of the year, but 2019. So if you want to go and work for them, that's fine. But we don't work for you for 11. You know, we don't pay you for 11 and a half months, and you go and spend that IP in that November 24 draft. So no, I don't think so.
It's the right thing to do.
They've cut ties though.
Yep. Yeah, I can understand why.
They've cut ties, which means they're no longer involved, so that gives Craig Cameron the right to go and work for the Gold Coast Suns as of tomorrow, which means he can partake in the draft.
Yeah, but a lot of people have those kind of periods, though. You know,
non-compete.
Well, so. I want to ask our listeners, how do you see this situation? 9429 1116. Jump on. We'll get to your calls in a tick. Johnny Ralph's in from the Herald Sun for Eco Garage Doors, the smoothest roller doors in town. Now, just at the cricket, the MCG, after Tassie made 172, the Vic's now fourth 102. This is after a couple of ducks from Hanscom and Finch. And also Glenn Maxwell failing. He only made 4 runs off 9 balls today. So nearing stumps, day one, Harris 61 not out, Christian 27 not out, Vic's 4 for 102. Now, we're talking about Craig Cameron going from GWS straight to the Gold Coast. What do people out there think about that situation? I think it's a good thing. I think if they're going to get the Gold Coast to work, and I'm a big believer in an 18-team competition and a national game, Gold Coast has to work, so I don't mind. Get them up there. Get the place humming, but let's see what everyone else thinks. Nathan is in Craigieburn. G'day, Nate.
Hey, g'day, guys. I agree with you. It's going to make Gold Coast work and stuff, but I just reckon it's not right because you've got to survey, as I just mentioned, you've got to survey your contract. It's not fair on the plans that have been put in at GWS at the moment, and now that you just take all those information to Gold Coast.
Nathan, he's the list manager at the moment at GWS. Just wait until they reveal the name or the title of his job description at Gold Coast. It'll be the fanciest, floweriest, multi-pronged thing you've ever heard because they'll try and sell the fact he's much more than the list manager, even though we know he's probably just going to be the list manager. It's the only way. If you get the inverted commas promotion, we can do whatever you want. Good on him. A little bit of mongrel.
This is the problem. Don't put him on contract.
Yeah, you're big on this.
Put them on the books. Put them on the books, and then if you want to break that, if you want to leave, you got a 3-month no compete clause, which means if someone wants to leave, you got to leave at the right time because otherwise you're not competing.
So if you're Clarko, and all of a sudden 17 other clubs are coming at Clarko every year, there's got to be some security.
No, he's different.
The security is there. Clarko's the security different. As an employee is there. So if you're on the books, you're getting paid, you've negotiated your wage, and if you're on bonuses and all that sort of stuff, absolutely.
Well, what about the security of saying we're backing you in? You know, you look at someone like Brendan Bolton.
But he's backed in. He's an employee.
Okay, so what if you're Brendan Bolton? Are you happy that he will roll out now with effectively they can sack him with, I don't know, it might be a couple of months?
Yeah, but it goes both ways. This is where the trust becomes between the coach and the club.
Trust in football.
Because he can walk out too.
Yeah.
Like he can quit his job and walk out. So it's a trust thing with him and the club. Yeah, I still believe there is trust in footy clubs. There is trust between coach and there is trust between the club.
One more call. Boom Boom is in Montmorency. G'day, Boom Boom.
Yeah, Marco, you're giving a fair rap to Craig Cameron there. He didn't do all well at Melbourne. And Ralphie, you should remember he was at Richmond. He was there that did the Fiora Pavlich deal and the Buddy Tambling deal when he was the list manager at Richmond.
He did well at Melbourne. His recruiting at Melbourne was very good.
I think he would probably concede Luke Mullen was the major stuff-up in the super draft, and, yeah, he'd say that privately himself. Yeah, but no, he's been a very, very solid recruiter over a lot of time.
But then he plucked Cameron Bruce off the rookie list and Russell Robinson, and, you got Damien Pirbel to the club, which...
Every club stuffed up.
In 18 months at GWS, he has signed up every player they've wanted to keep. I don't think there's any doubt that he's a very, very solid citizen.
Was productive.
Yep.
You can go back through any club's history and find a period where they really stuffed up.
And he's got a heap of common sense, which is a pretty rare commodity in football. No, he'll go well.
Righto, Johnny Ralph's Big Six at Six coming up. Strap yourself in.
West Australian authorities are reviewing rules that allow 8-year-old kids to drag race at up to 96 kilometres an hour.
My God.
Comes after an 8-year-old kid died after her drag racing car slammed into a wall at the weekend. Can we just review a little bit? Can we just rewind a little bit here? Why did it take someone dying for us to realise that 8-year-old kids shouldn't be going at 100 clicks? Now, it was a well-known racing family over there. I know we have Pee-wee 50s and 40s and all those things.
She's 8.
We've come so far in society, and then it takes something like that, such a horrible, tragic story, and I understand they must be grieving, to make you think, what is going on in the world?
Madness.
Ralphie. Madness is a very
madness.
It's an unfortunately a great delivery.
Yeah. Yes, unfortunately.
Delivery number 2. Elise Perry, we had her on before. How outstanding. A couple of good questions in there too, Marco. Yeah. She should
just
be the most...
Just for some.
Yes, for some. Some were lacking too from you, David. she should be the most famous sports person in Australia. She scored in a World Cup, beautiful left footer too. She's made a stack of one-day runs, now the double ton at test level. Mm. She ticks every box from a marketing perspective, but she's a woman. Not for the first time, you're just reminded about all these blokes who make millions of bucks and they go and do crazy things in hotels and they take drugs and they abuse their privileges. And we've got people like her and Kim Crow and Anna Mears and Sam Kerr and Sam Stosur and Sally Fitz and Sally Pearson.
Meg Lanning.
All these people, thankfully at least, are getting a little bit more money and hopefully the wheel is turning a little bit. But it just makes you realise again, she's a megastar. She's not on megastar dollars. So hopefully in 10 years we'll look back and say this was the decade that people like her turned into not only megastars, but were paid like megastars.
What, this question without notice, if, let's say, I don't know, a sports store, what's a sports store? They got behind, made her the spokes...
Rebel Sport.
What's she worth to be the poster girl for Rebel Sport for a year? Is it $1 million?
No.
Not to them, but...
No.
How much? What's the contract worth?
200.
So the management, her manager accepts 200,000.
Yep.
It's not enough, is it?
Well, I don't know. As a full-time cricketer, she's probably earning 25,000 bucks a year.
Yeah, not much. But she's a full-time superstar.
So maybe in 10 years, the AFLW. Maybe Aaron Phillips in 10 years will be earning... not as much as Buddy Franklin, but maybe she'd be earning 300,000 or the Aaron Phillips at that time. Let's hope so. Let's hope it's this type of issue.
Excellent delivery.
International rules. It is to footy what cricket is to a three-match one-day series against Pakistan in Dubai. It is totally and utterly devoid of meaning. And I reckon that's why it fails. Is it a cash cow? Are we making money out of selling $18 tickets, 25,000 of them at Adelaide Oval? Is it a piss up in Ireland? Is that why these blokes play this game?
Part of it.
Yeah, because I don't think it's the actual attraction, because the attraction's quite good. I mean, Nathan Fyfe's goal against, as Kevin said, a busboy or a concierge or whoever it was quite attractive.
But I think it was a postie.
A postie.
Yeah.
But I think that's the issue. You know, there's not a cycle that adds up to points. It's not a bad little view if you want to watch 20 minutes of it, but I reckon it's the total lack of meaning and the fact that you just get the feeling maybe the AFL's filling their coffers so all of those 50 or 100 or 150 officials can go to that Irish series next year or the year after. I think that's why we're sitting seven.
Righto. International rules. Is it good totally devoid of meaning? 9429 1116.
The bounce. What do you guys prefer? I think we keep hearing more and more that if it's not gone this year, it might be gone within 48 months.
I'm a bouncer. I want to see it stay.
I'd like to see it stay, but I just wanted to throw out to people, if it does get eradicated, who benefits most? Because I saw in the extra time period there of Port Adelaide versus West Coast, I think it might have been up against Drew Petrie, but a bounce was recalled, and Paddy Ryder flew, it seemed like a metre and a half over his opponent. Perfect tap out, I think, to Travis Boak. Mm. So I look at people like Nick Natanui come back in, and I look at some of the really excellent ruckmen out there like Brodie Grundy at Collingwood, who aren't big leapers. And I think to myself, it's not just a OHS issue, it's not just an injury issue for the umpires. Mm. It is going to deliver someone a massive advantage. Maybe it's Max Gawn. Maybe Melbourne will find themselves, 208 centimetres?
I don't think there's a massive advantage.
I think in the centre square there is. I think around the ground you can still jostle, you can still wrestle. But when, the old Jeff White thing, when you could do what you could do there.
But the circle eradicates it.
Not when you're Paddy Ryder off three steps. Jeff White needed a 15-step run-up. With Paddy Ryder, spring heel, bang. Anyway, give us your thoughts on that one.
Who will advantage 9429 1116 in 2018 if... there is no bounce.
Mark Waugh said Trevor Holmes wanted to pick the Australian Test team, or the squad at least, after two of the three Sheffield Shield rounds.
Smart.
What if Wade and Maxwell missed the squad, and in the third round, they both made double tons? Can our selectors confuse us anymore? Could they speak any more gibberish? And while we're there, David Warner said on the weekend, well, Peter Neville, he should play in Brisbane because he has really good mannerisms. Don't worry about making runs or dropping catches, but his mannerisms are good. God, we speak a lot of dross as we wait for these blokes to get selected in this test squad. surely if you've got three matches beforehand, you wait for all three. Just my opinion.
Righto. Ralphie reckons the selectors may have lost their minds. They are confusing us.
As we finish...
What do you think, 9-4-2-9, 11-16?
I thought, look, Mick Shane's the greatest journo that ever lived, especially from an AFL perspective, but I thought there was a little bit of gibberish in it from him. I love the attitude of the Socceroos. I thought it was such a tense-gripping game. They didn't whinge about the hardships of, you know, didn't whinge about the danger. Horrible pitch. They got on with business. They missed a couple of chances, but they only had two or three. A couple of them were good saves. But I reckon the people like Simon Hill and Craig Foster who complain about the lack of publicity for the Socceroos, they say it's all about the media. I reckon that there is a reason why the Socceroos haven't captivated us. It's because we used to know this golden generation and we came through with them. We watched them and we might have watched them in the NRL, in the NSL, NFL. Kale, Neil, Viduka, Schwarzer, Aloisi, Tiada, you know, the names go on.
Superstars.
Absolute superstars. We love Timmy Kale. We love Aaron Moy because we saw him at local level and now we see him at Huddersfield. But so many of these blokes out there, the Rogics of the world, so many of these blokes we just don't see. Not a lot of them play in the EPL. A lot of them play overseas. A handful of them, a sprinkling of them playing in the... For me, anyway, I know the purists know every one of those blokes, but we've played so many different people and we've rotated our squad. So is there a reason why maybe you haven't got behind the Socceroos as much? For me, that's it. I look at these guys and I think... He's a handy player, Jackson Irvine, but I don't really know him. I can't really, I don't love him yet. But maybe if they star in the World Cup, we'll do that. And maybe they'll set us up for the next golden generation.
Excellent seventh delivery.
Thank you.
What do the Socceroos need to go to the next level? Yep. 9-4-2-9, 11-16. Stumps on day one at the MCG. The Vicks 4-for-103, trailing by 69 runs. Tassie all out for 172 today.
Good
we thought it was going
back.
To be an absolute cakewalk over there, but it is not the case. 9-4-2-9, 11-16. Elise Perry, international rules, the future of the bounce, the selectors, are they confusing? And what do the Socceroos need to go to that next level? Craig's first up on the road. G'day, Craig.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Bit of a traditionalist. I love the bounce. My concern is the what will happen with the throw-ins. I mean, you see that whip-like action that they do with one arm coming back. What if they eradicate the throw-in? What's the next move?
What if their arm just falls off, Craig? I mean, that would make it hard to be a boundary umpire, would it not?
Are the umpires who run up and down the boundary, are they hurting themselves throwing the ball in?
What about
has that been an issue?
His ankle and that famous footage of him? No, but I think Craig makes a point that... KB would support that, you know, if you get a bit sore and your back gets sore, that's just what happens. Yes, it might be an OHS issue, but surely we can find enough bounces. And this is what I think should happen. If you have a bad back, if you've got a stress fracture but you can still run, you just don't bounce for 2 or 4 or 6 or 8 or 10 weeks and someone else bounces. And if there's not enough bounces, you just chuck it up. But mostly we bounce the ball.
One off this mess. Mike Sheen is just a flog on soccer. Wouldn't have a clue. But I respect his opinion.
Thanks, Craig. One more. Sam is on the road. G'day, Sam.
Sammy.
Hey, Sam.
Hello, Sam.
I respect you, Ralphie, but one thing I don't like.
What's that?
Majority of the Oz Socceroos team, they're playing in the English Premier League. You got Aaron Moy, Matty Ryan, Tom Rogic playing at Celtic, best team in Scotland.
Yeah, Milo Jednak.
Irvine playing in the Championship.
Well, maybe it's because we don't see a lot of the EPL these days because it's on, you know, the buffering Optus. My point is this, you know, we used to see a lot more. When you could see Viduka scoring these 4 goals for Leeds, when you could see...
Mate, there was
Harry
a song
Kuhl
about Harry Kuehl.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, he was a superstar.
And it's not a criticism of these blokes. They're all playing at as high a level as they can. But I just, you know, you used to see them and you used to love them. Whereas now you go, well, we look quite handy and technically I think we're a bit different and you just... We haven't quite got behind them like we did the Golden Generation, and there was a reason, because they were that bloody good.
Johnny Ralph's in from the Herald Sun for Eco Garage Doors, the smoothest roller doors in town. Go check out their new showroom in Hallam. It's 20 past six.
Under the basis, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I think he has been gifted the qualities that should make him almost the best player in the competition, and he's a fair way from the...
Much is expected, much is given, much is expected. I
now,
like that word.
Can I
like
make
that
one
term.
Can I make one apology?
Yes.
At least Perry may be on more than 25K.
How much?
Maybe 300.
There we go.
Now, if she's earning 300, well done. Well done to Cricket Australia. Mm. I know they just got a pay rise, but I've just been alluded to that off the SMS. So if that is correct, well done.
Yep.
But I didn't think those pay increases had occurred just yet.
And I think with Brett Deledio, I'll make a little apology too. Lost his aunt, lost his granddad. His sister-in-law had brain cancer. His little nephew has brain cancer. He had a calf that so many people thought he wouldn't come back from. So I understand the pressure will come on, but I thought he did pretty well to get back out in the paddock. But when you think of this industry as a pressurised industry, we're just thinking off air about some of the coaches.
Everyone's under pressure.
Well, sometimes only a couple of them are out of contract, or a couple of them have had great periods, or someone have just been appointed. Simon Goodwin, pressure?
Well, hang on, let's do this on a level basis. So level five is extreme pressure. Level one, general football pressure.
Yep.
Righto?
So Simon Goodwin.
3.3.
I would have said level two pressure.
I'd say three, given he got rid of Jack Watts. So he's got the
But also they had the chance of making finals.
Yeah, and they totally blew it.
So
there's a little bit more than normal football pressure, I would have
normally
thought.
More than a second.
It's got to be over 2.5. It's got to be over 50%.
King Kenny Hinckley.
Ooh.
Three.
I'd say four. For me. Decided to stay at the club.
No, he's just re-signed. Two.
I'm a deuce as well. 9:49, 11:16, by the way, if you want to put some put the acid on somebody in the football world.
Still a four for me. How did they lose their final? All of a sudden, they're locked and loaded, which I love the direction. He's got a president in David Kosh who doesn't care about all those kind of things. What about Alan Richardson, who we've been very patient with and for good reason because we've liked the list build?
3.75 for me.
I don't think his list is good enough just yet. Well, certainly, the list might be good enough, but I don't think it has the reputation for being good enough in the general football world for him to be under extreme pressure. So I'm going to just go two or three.
I'll say 3.5 because they did not much by their own inclination in the trade period. They won 12 games a year before, then went backwards. So I think every St Kilda supporter would say, righto, this is the time for us to go.
But the football world hasn't rated the St Kilda list, has it?
We did when they won 12 games 2 years ago and they had their established stars and the young kids coming through.
Tom Lynch. What pressure is Tom Lynch under?
No, he's under a four. Because every one of these free agents who have left have played great football.
Plus he's the captain.
Yep.
Plus he's the lone wolf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Poster boy.
I reckon he is on a five. He's at the very highest issue.
Extreme pressure.
Extreme pressure.
So what's his year like if he has another year like this year in which he was very banged up, had hip issues, but... at least Dustin Martin could say, you know what? Look at me. I'm flying another three Brownlow votes. Whereas if this bloke wants the money and he's going to have all the speculation, he's going to be linked to a different club every other week. And once we've had 17 weeks, we'll start again and we'll just go round and round again.
Richmond.
Just smoking the cherry.
Level one? Normal football
pressure.
What about
if they come out and do a Western Bulldogs? What happens then?
Let's just have a look at the Western Bulldogs then. This year. I would say now, all of a sudden, Mr. Beveridge finds himself level three or four.
Oh, no, he's not level four.
Yes, he is.
Was it a flash in the pan?
Come on!
Level three or four pressure for Luke Beveridge.
Dogs hadn't won a flag since 54. He comes in on his white horse.
9:49, 11:16.
Puts a premiership cup into the mantelpiece. Only second one ever.
Yeah.
Does that. And then 2 years later, you're going to give him the... He's not level Claudio Ranieri.
I'm not sacking the guy. I'm just saying he's level three or four pressure.
I think too many issues off field, too many staff not getting on with each other.
What do you mean, staff?
So my point is...
Who are the staff not getting on?
Well, you know, some ructions there.
I don't know. I haven't heard this, Ralphie.
It's been widely reported the CEO left. It was always going to be potentially on that timeline. Mm. You know,
president.
Yeah, the president is a very strong man. So my point is that there are times there where you can drop out of the finals.
The president is a strong man.
The president at times.
Peter Gordon can be very forceful.
Yes. The list manager and the recruiting boss not speaking to each other. My point was that you can lose. You could have an 11-win season after a premiership and people say, that didn't quite go that well. But the nature of their losses, the fact there were some party boys, that was why the pressure came to bear on the Bulldogs, not just because they didn't have a great season.
Pressure to get the club right. Pressure to perform.
Jake Stringer. What pressure is Jake Stringer on the pressure index?
Ooh.
He's just blown the Richter scale apart.
You reckon he's under five? You reckon he's on five?
Yeah, of course he is.
Yep. I reckon he's a four. There's a lot of pressure on this kid.
Well, of all the issues that you can have off field, you know, he had the royal flush, didn't he?
Yeah.
And so he has said he wants to be a better father, he wants to be a better footballer, a better human being. And I think we've all got patience to say, okay, Jake, you show us that. But if Jake all of a sudden, you know, has a reprise of 2017, well, he becomes a serial bad boy.
All right, Marco.
Yes.
If Bevo is on a 3 or a 4,
yes.
What is Bucks on?
4, standard Collingwood coach Pepper.
He cannot be on the same as Luke Beveridge. Hey,
he's not got the same. Beveridge is on level 3 or 4. Bucks is on 4.
How can he be on 4 when he's delivered a premiership no more than 380 days ago?
There's just, you know, I have to line all these things up to get it perfect. But, you know, just as I'm going along, he's definitely on more pressure than Luke Beveridge.
Yeah, he's a 4.5. But I'm going to be very positive about 4.5. Nathan over the summer. I haven't thought he was the right man for the job for a long time. So if they decided that he was the man, I'm going to look at the positives and think, okay, I'm sure he's going to change his game plan. I'm sure he's going to switch the magnets around. And I'm looking forward to an exciting year of football.
No, well, if Bucks is 1-5 or 1-6, then that goes, we're in the red zone. Then it's level 5. And if Luke Beveridge is only 1-5 or 1-6, I don't think he gets into the red zone.
Yeah,
it would be around 4, though.
I suppose
if Luke Beveridge gets into the red zone this year, our system is completely.
Well, that's the way our system has been for a
long
time.
No, it has not. I don't know any coach that has been under pressure 2 years after winning a flag.
Look,
if you can name one, you're a better man than me.
I don't think he will be under pressure in terms of losing his job. It's just that he had this extraordinary aura, you know, that he did things differently. He was this extraordinary father figure. He was a motivator. And if he has that extraordinary year and then 2 years later, you know, four years. We'll just say maybe he's not the coach that we thought he was.
Okay, if Bevo's a 3 or 4, what's Ross Lyon?
Ooh.
8.
Yeah, no. I think Ross Lyon's a 3 or 4 as well. 3 or 4.
I think they're 8.
Because he's got a contract that's, what, until 2020?
So what?
There's 18 coaches out there that would like to have you as their president. I'll tell you what, Marco.
A 3 or 4?
Yes. What have you got Ross Lyon at?
He's on a 5 and bordering on a 6.
Nah, it's rebuild. They've entrusted him with a rebuild down there. That's why they gave him so many years. 3 or 4.
They finished on top. Then they won. A
couple of years ago.
Yeah, then they've gone bang, bang. Luke Beveridge has won a flag and you've got him on the same.
3 or 4 for Luke Beveridge. I think I'm playing golf with him soon too.
No, you're not.
Jim's in Narre Warren. G'day, Jim.
Yeah, g'day, Ox. I just want to remind you that Tony Jewell got the sack 2 years after winning the premiership.
He did.
Yeah, but Richmond shouldn't be on this list.
Yeah.
They did some silly stuff.
They were the Richmond of the 80s.
They did some silly stuff. It doesn't matter anymore, though, Ralphie. You can smile for the next
Jim,
2 years,
why did he get?
Boy.
Why did he get the Tijuana just 2 years after?
They wanted Francis.
There you go. Look, I spoke to
Didn't the Demon coach way back when?
Oh.
What happened then?
Norm Smith.
The curse
of
Norm Smith.
I spoke to a Dogs fan today who said, I watched every game the year before last. He goes, I went to one game this year. He says, I didn't care because we'd won the flag. And he said, if I didn't care, maybe the players didn't care. So that's why they're going to be such an interesting case study.
If Goody wins Melbourne a flag this year, in 2018, he gets 8 years with me.
Eight.
He gets 8 years.
What about if he misses the 8 the next 2 years in a row?
He gets 8 days.
Yeah.
He gets 8 days
that's
to pack
Luke
his
Beveridge.
Office. No, to pack his office and get out.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
Melbourne has got to make finals.
It's how you win, it's how you lose.
That's why the Doggies have got to make the 8 this year.
Yeah. Melbourne, you know, lost catastrophically in the last minute and all those issues. And really, we should say, well, they hardly had Jesse Hogan and Jack Watts got injured and all these kind of things. But because they moved on Jack, because they got in Jake Lever, sometimes there is more pressure, not just on win losses. It's the environment you create.
What pressure is Horst Longmire under?
Yes, well, absolutely none from a CEO.
This
would
be interesting, Marco. What do you reckon,
Longmire?
Yeah, 3 to 4.
Nah, 2.
What about Buddy?
Two.
What about Buddy Franklin, who didn't have a good last final? What was it? Semi final?
Nah, I don't think he'd feel pressure, Buddy. For some reason, I think he's a different cat. Yeah.
I think Buddy's fine. I think he's suffered bigger things than form slumps.
Yep. No. Well, I suppose people will.
That'll do. Hey, Terry Wallace is going to have a look at the Bulldogs list later this week. So, Ralphie, I want you to be listening to that. Daniel Garb, I tell you what, he has been to Socceroos training. He was one of the few that was let in. He's going to tell us how our boys looked straight after SportsCentre.
The Run Home with Ox and Marco. 3-7 weekdays on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.